This game is called Gita Roulette. So I will ask one of the gentlemen to please choose a number between 1 and 18. Because there's 18 chapters in this book. So maybe one of the guests would like to do that. Huh? Any number between 1 and 18. Huh? Chapter 9. Very nice. Okay. So, in chapter 9, there are, 32? Maybe a few more, let's see. No, 34 verses. Okay, maybe one of the ladies. We ask one of the ladies, please choose a number between 1 and 34. Verse 18. Okay. This is one way to choose a verse for giving a class. Okay. Katir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nirvasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Stanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam Katir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam Kati Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralaya Sthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything. The resting place in the eternal seed. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Gati means the destination where we want to go. But the ultimate goal is Krishna. Although people do not know it. One who does not know Krishna is misled, and his so-called progressive march is either partial or hallucinatory. There are many who make as their destination different demigods, and by rigid performance of the strict respective methods, they reach different planets known as Chandralok, Suryalok, Indralok, Mahalok, etc. But all such lokas or planets, being creations of Krishna, are simultaneously Krishna and not Krishna. Such planets, being manifestations of Krishna's energies, are also Krishna, but actually they serve only as a step forward for realization of Krishna. To approach the different energies of Krishna is to approach Krishna indirectly. One should directly approach Krishna, for that will save time and energy. For example, if there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by the staircase, step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme ruler because everything belongs to Him and everything exists on His energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. The residences, countries, or planets on which we live are also Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate goal of shelter, and therefore one should take shelter of Krishna, either for protection or for annihilation of his distress. And whenever we have to take protection, we should know that our protection must be a living force. Krishna is the supreme living entity. And since Krishna is the source of our generation, or the supreme father, no one can be a better friend than Krishna, nor can anyone be a better well-wisher. Krishna is the original source of creation and the ultimate rest after annihilation. Krishna is therefore the eternal cause of all causes. Om Agyana Timarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshut Miledam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha, called the most confidential knowledge. So this is one of the best chapters in Bhagavad Gita. It's very sweet, because here Krishna is glorifying pure devotional service. Krishna's main purpose in speaking Bhagavad Gita is to speak these middle six chapters. The first six and last six chapters give some preliminary information, purification of the soul through various yoga systems, mainly karma and jnana and ashtanga yoga. But his real purpose is to speak the middle six chapters, to get to the essence of bhakti. And he's also kind of drawing in different types of people, different types of yogis. In like a needle, out like a plow. Right. He goes in like a needle because he's speaking about the soul and purifying the self through yoga, meditation, concentration of the mind, control of the senses. And developing intelligence. So this is attractive to all kinds of yogis, jnanis and ashtanga yogis. And karma yogis, the common people, they like to think that, or shall we say, they like to understand that they also have a pathway to God simply by working and giving the fruits of their work to God. So in this way, Krishna has attracted all different types of people, and he's kind of reeling them in, you know, to get them to read the middle six chapters. And actually, the whole Mahabharata is really enacted. The whole Mahabharata war is enacted with the same purpose, to simply attract living entities with some, you know, battle, a big fight, and some intrigue, mystery, love, romance, politics. And people are very interested in politics, isn't it? Especially in India, everybody's every day reading the newspaper and see what will happen. So Krishna's very intelligent. He has come to the earth planet to somehow attract the mind of the fallen conditioned souls. Because, I mean, the earth planet is not the highest planet in the universe. It's in the middle. So Sometimes we may think that why has Krishna come here? He could have went to Brahmaloka or Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, or Indralok, Chandralok, Suryalok, as Prabhupada mentioned. Could have, and he does go sometimes, right? In Indralok, he's Vaman. But mainly his avatars, he appears on the earth. Why? Because in the living entity, he's going up and down in the universe. When he's very pious and he's spending his good karma, then he goes to the higher planets, Indralok, Chandralok, Suryalok. And he enjoys for 10,000 years. And he spends his karma, his good karma. He's enjoying. And gradually, at a certain point, it runs out like a bank account because it's material. Right? Punya, karma. Then it's material. So it has a beginning and an end. So when it runs out, then the living entity drops back to the earth. Martyalokam Vishanti. And he comes back to Martyalokam. So then he may come here and he may perform some sinful activities. And then he has to go to the lower planets. And he spends his bad karma suffering. So the upper and the lower part of the universe is simply meant for spending the good and bad karma. But the earth planet is the place where you accrue that karma. It is the place of choice, the place of responsibility. Of all the planets in the universe, this place is actually the most important, because this is the place where you make your choice. And then you spend thousands and thousands of years spending out the ramification of that choice. So therefore, all the living entities in the universe, they have to come to the earth planet. And in each universe, there's an earth planet. Here they call it Prithvi, or Earth. And in different universes, they may have different names. But there's always this middle planetary system where the living entity comes and he has a human form and he has intelligence to choose good or bad. And then he spends out those karma either in hell or in heaven. And then he comes back to the earth again. So all the living entities have to come to the earth. So it's kind of like the main street of the universe. Right? Like when you go on Sankirtan, you go to the main street, because in order to get to any shop, you have to go through the main street. So Krishna is like doing Sankirtan. He's the best preacher. So he comes to the earth, which is the main street of the universe, to catch the fallen conditioned soul. And he's got a big show called Mahabharata. This is his show. It's a drama. And he performs it in every universe, in the entire material creation. There's billions of universes. And he takes birth in Braj, grows up till he's 10 years and 9 months. Then he goes to Mathura. He spends 18 months there. Then he goes to Dwarka. And he lives out his life, 125 years. And then he passes out from this universe. And he goes to the next universe. And then he does the same thing. Born in Braj. He lives there till he's almost 11. Then he goes to Mathura. And in every time, he has a Mahabharata war. Each and every time, he has a Mahabharata war. It's exciting for him. He doesn't get bored. Oh, another war, come on. Hey. You know. No, because it's his spiritual potency for him and his devotees like Arjun, Kunti, Yudhisthira, Bhim. They always feel like it's the first time that it's ever happened. So, Krishna performs this big battle, and it's all these intrigue, politics, romance, and this, and that, you know, banishment to the forest, and in incognito, they're hiding. It's very exciting. And then suddenly, right, so there's this big war, and all of the enemies are lined up for 40 miles at Kurukshetra on the battlefield. You know, millions, hundreds of millions of soldiers. And then on the other side, for 40 miles, huge Pandava army. And then Arjuna asks Krishna, Senayora Madhye, you bring me to the middle of the battle. And I want to see who's there on the other side. So, Senayor Ubhayor Manye. So, Krishna brings the chariot in the middle of the battlefield. And the Pandavas are ready for anything. And they're seeing, what is happening? What is Arjuna doing? And the Kauravas are also shocked. They don't know what he's doing. Bhima's there, and Duryodhan, and Bhishma, Duryodhan, and Ashwatthama, Dronacharya, all the big Maharatis, and they're watching. What is Arjuna going to do? He's going to try to fight us all alone? Or maybe he wants to make some deal? They couldn't understand. Why is he coming out in the middle of the battle? So, then suddenly he stops. And then there's this conversation. It's like everybody's mind is totally riveted on this one conversation, which is like the climax of the whole Mahabharata Leela, both warriors, both armies are on both sides. And then comes out from the lotus mouth of Krishna comes a river of nectar flowing like the Ganges. And he speaks the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. And this is the way to capture the attention of the conditions. And Krishna is the perfect preacher. You know, perfect preacher. Very dramatic. And the knowledge that comes out from his mouth is that knowledge which can liberate the soul and bring him to Vaikuntha and beyond, to Goloka Vrindavan. And he says that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, the Charama Shloka, most important verse, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Right? You give up all other considerations of Dharma and simply surrender to me. And Braja can also mean Brajadham. Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshe shami. I will deliver you from all sins. Ma shucha. Do not worry, Arjuna. So, this verse, he gives the most important point of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, how to surrender, he mentions in the other verse, Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskaro. Mamma vaishasi satyam te padijani prayosi me. That you think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and bow down to me. If you do this, I assure you, you will come to me. Because you are very dear to me. So, Krishna's heart is soft like butter, and he actually loves all of us. And when we surrender to him, then his heart becomes melted. Just as it melted at the end of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna Krishna spoke everything in verse 1863. Says, I have told you everything. Now, you deliberate on it fully and decide what you want to do. You can do what you wish to do, but first think about it deeply. Reflect on it. He gives Arjuna full choice. You can do what you want to do, Arjuna. I'm not forcing you. I have given you all of the information available. I've told you about all the different yoga systems, and I've told you about the results of not surrendering to me. And then Arjuna is sitting there, and he's thinking that to try to remember all of the instructions is not easy, because it's such a long dissertation of philosophy. And Krishna sees Arjuna considering all of the different points, and his heart becomes very soft, and he says, Arjuna, so please listen. Now I will instruct you in the essence of all the teachings that I have given you in 8 verses. And amongst those 8 verses are those 2 verses, which are considered to be like the key for opening up the box of bhakti, or the middle 6 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is compared to a golden box with a lid. And on the lid there are many beautiful jewels sparkling. That is compared to the last 6 chapters. The bottom of the box is golden, and that is the first 6 chapters. Represents the first 6 chapters. And inside the box is the treasure of the middle 6 chapters. It deals with bhakti. The top of it is Jnana Yoga. And the bottom is Karma Yoga. And inside is that rare treasure, which is devotion. But that box is locked. You cannot get in it. You have to have the key. So these 2 verses are Sarva Dharmam Parityajya and Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. They are written with jewels on the box, on the top of the box. And so you read them and recite them and follow them, then the box opens. Then you can enter into the secrets of the Bhagavad Gita. So this in chapter 7, Krishna describes Mishra Bhakti, mixed devotion. Because when someone begins the process of bhakti, he or she has so many different desires. So it's understandable that there's going to be some mixture of motivation. And that's Mishra Bhakti. And in chapter 8, then Krishna defines what is pure devotion in verse number 14. Ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityasa tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. That you just think of me. One who just thinks of me and nothing else, and he can easily obtain me. Tasyaham sulabha partha. So, with this verse, which is the first verse which defines pure devotion in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna begins the part of his lecture where he describes pure bhakti, ananya bhakti, shuddha bhakti, keval bhakti, pure devotion, just perform with love. In order for the heart to feel love, it has to be clean. If there's envy, is greed or lust or anger, then there cannot be any love. So first business is to clean the heart. So Krishna has described so many things. We talked about this in the morning. So now, Arjuna is wondering about how to perform this pure devotion. And Krishna now describes how to perform that pure devotion that he was introduced and defined in chapter 8. Or chapter 9 is the most confidential knowledge. He says that idam tu te guyatamam pravakshami anasuyave gyanavigyana sahitam yajgyatva mokshashev shubhat. That you will become liberated from all which is inauspicious, ashubhat. And this is the most confidential knowledge. So listen and pravakshami anasuyave. I am telling you because you are not envious of me, Arjuna. You are my friend. You will not find faults with me when I describe these secrets to you of my opulences. Because in Naralila, Krishna is acting as an ordinary prince of Dwarka. So, but actually he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And oh, he is in charge and he's the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. And he's in charge of all opulences. But if somebody, if he explains this to someone who's envious of him, then that person won't accept that. They'll think, oh, he's so proud. He thinks he's God. He thinks he's so powerful. But Arjuna is not envious so that he could understand and accept this. So in this chapter, Krishna, he says that this knowledge is Rajavidya. It is the king of all knowledge. And it's the supreme king of all confidential knowledge. So in this particular verse, which was chosen today, he's describing his opulences to Arjuna. He says that I am the goal, the gati. Vidaśca sarvam aham eva vidyo vidanna krit eva vid eva chaham. He says also in the 15th chapter in Purushottam Yoga that I am Purushottam Arjuna. Do not think otherwise. I am that Purushottama. And not just like someone may have the name Purushottam, or someone may have the name Ashwakarna, but he really doesn't have a horse's ear. Do not think I am Purushottam like that, Arjuna. I am real Purushottam. I am factual Purushottam. So I am the goal. All dharmas are meant for reaching me alone. All yogas are meant for understanding me, seeing me in the heart. All of the planets of the universe are actually expansions of my energy. And all yogas are meant for coming to me. So I am the goal of all religion. And Arjuna thought that Krishna was his friend, his cousin, brother. And he said, Saketi Madhva Prasabam Yutam Uttam. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Saketi. So I used to call you Sakha, hey Yadava. I am a Pandava. I can become the emperor like my father Pandu. But you are just Yadava. You cannot become minister. You cannot become emperor like I. Your father Vasudeva was simply a minister. I am a Pandava. He was thinking like this. And he said, hey Yadava. And he would joke with Krishna in this way. Evil, evil. And he would joke and kind of like insulting a friend, you know. He would do this with Krishna. Not even, he would call him Krishna, but not Sri Krishna, just Krishna. Not Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Arjuna was a very intimate friend. And he would often be unaware of the Lord's opulences in order to enhance his relationship. Once Narada was searching out the Lord, and he didn't know where to look. He asked his brother, Lord Shiva, in Kailas, "Where is the Lord now? Where can I find him?" Lord Mahadev told him that he's often on the earth planet. So you go there. He spends a lot of time with the Pandavas in Hastinapur. You can go there, and I think you'll find him there. So Narada went to the earth and came to the came to Hastinapur, to the palaces, and he asked, "Where can I find Krishna? Where is he?" He said, "Oh, some ministers told him that right now he spends time in the Pandavas' palaces. Right now he's in Arjuna's palace." So Narad went there, and the guards bowed to him and offered him a seat. They said, expressed his desire, "I want to speak to Sri Krishna. I heard that he's with Arjuna." I said, "Yes, he's here. But he instructed us not to let anybody come in, no matter who it was. So we must follow these instructions." Hare Krishna. Radhanath Swami ki. Sachidanandan Swami ki. So Narada was waiting patiently to get darshan, Lord Krishna, and he was anxiously, or maybe you can say very happily, looking forward towards meeting the Lord. But he was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting more. And he thought, "What are they doing in there?" So he came to the door and he thought, "And maybe take a look through the keyhole. Maybe he could see something." So he looked through the keyhole and he saw an amazing sight. He saw that Krishna and Arjuna were lying on the same bed together, sleeping. But not only that, he saw that Arjuna's leg was across Krishna's chest. And he thought, "Oh, Arjuna is such an intimate associate of the Lord. I could never do that." So generally we understand Arjuna that he's like an Aishwarya Bhakta, but he has his moments of intimacy with the Lord. So here in Bhagavad Gita, in order to pacify Arjuna's mind, to allay his fears and to enlighten him, Krishna describing his opulences to Arjuna, beginning in this 7th, 8th, 9th chapter. And then later in the 10th chapter, he goes into more detail. And then he gives a full darshan of all of his powers in the 11th chapter. So, in this verse, Krishna describes, "I am the goal of all religion. So you simply surrender to me." I am the goal, the sustainer, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation of everything. I am the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed of everything. Therefore, do not be afraid, Arjuna. You simply surrender to me and I will protect you. And I will maintain you. And I will give you all knowledge and all realization. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. So now, without my flapping my jaw any further, since we have some exalted personalities sitting here, we would like to also hear from them.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna. I will just speak briefly before His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj addresses all of us. I would like to speak today on something inspirational and something very practical for your spiritual development. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares the development of our consciousness with the blossoming of a flower. In the all of you who are here at this present moment have a long, long evolutionary journey behind them. I don't mean the journey through the Mumbai traffic, which is also an evolution. An evolution from frustration to intense frustration, so on. No, with the evolutionary journey which you have behind you, who are all situated here this Sunday afternoon in our Radha Gopinath temple. I mean the evolution through the different life forms, starting with the forms in the water, and then going to the tree species, the animal species, and finally even insects and birds, and finally the human form of life. That's a journey which every one of us has made, a journey which was not just a matter of 1 hour journey or even 1 year journey. It took us many lifetimes to complete the journey, so that now we are sitting here in the temple as human beings. My sincere congratulations to you for having made this journey and having come to this stage where the evolution of consciousness can be done in a very purposeful and directed way. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, the Vedanta Sutra tells us, now where you are a human being, ask the questions which help you to go on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the journey like this. He says, when the soul is in the form of mountains and minerals, he is in a covered state of consciousness. His consciousness is covered by a thick layer. When the soul arrives at the animal form of life, it's in a shrunken state of consciousness. Do you know shrunken? You have a wool pullover and you wash it too hot, it shrunks. That means it's no longer really the same, and it's very limited. If you go on such a shrunken wool pullover, you cannot even take properly your food. It's too limiting. When the soul arrives in the human form of life, where it is not, where it just abides by some material laws to keep the society going, the consciousness is in a budding state of consciousness. A bud is when a flower is not visible, when it's still very, let me see if I can show you. This is a flower which is blossomed, but when it's a bud, you can't see the color of the flower and don't smell it. It's very a bud. You understand the meaning of the bud? It means the full expression of the flower is not there. So when someone is in material consciousness, although he follows laws and regulations and even some traffic rules, his consciousness is in the budding state. Next time when someone gets on your nerves and you want to call him your best Maharati bad name, stop your tongue and call him you bud. You bud means you have a possibility to blossom. There is room for improvement in your life. It's a very polite bad name. You bud. It is a very hope-giving bad name. It means, yes, you can also blossom and become fully developed. Now, it is said, when the soul finally begins to hear spiritual teachings and follow some spiritual rules and regulations, like saying, restrict my eating to a vegetarian diet, and I will do a certain amount of spiritual practice. I will chant every day so and so many rounds, and so on. At that time, something happens in the consciousness. The consciousness, the spiritual consciousness, will for the first time open up a little bit. So it is called, at the time when a person follows religious codes and rules and regulations, his consciousness is in the blooming state of consciousness. Vikachita is a Sanskrit word. It's starting to open up. Now, the moment the moment where you feel in your consciousness love for Krishna, you are in the fully blossomed or Purna Vikachita Chetana, the fully blossomed state of consciousness. You're in your natural consciousness. You have developed your full human potential, which is love, love to Krishna. Is this example clear? Good. Now, for a moment, think about the example of the opening up. How is, let us say, a tree which has blossoms, how does the tree develop its blossom? Well, there's a certain, it gets water, and then there's a certain force, a certain season, it comes, and then it somehow develops into blossom. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, of all the seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring. Ultimately, when there is spring, it is Krishna's Shakti which enters into the tree, and then it will take care that all over the tree there are these wonderful blossoms and flowers, and it looks wonderful. Do you have this in Mumbai also, when spring comes, that all of a sudden the trees, like a young bride, begin to decorate themselves? That buds and whatever open up and they are fully blossom. So in the same way, if you want to develop your Purna Vikachita Chetana, that means the full manifestation of your consciousness, the highest potential, at that time it is important for you to receive the Shakti of Krishna. And a very specific Shakti of Krishna. And you need to know where you can get this Shakti. Just like the tree will develop its blossom on flowers by a very specific type of Shakti. Also in our lives, we require a very, very particular Shakti of the Lord so that our consciousness can blossom. This Shakti, or this energy of the Lord, there are many, many Shaktis. For instance, there's the Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord. That's the external manifestation, the material world. There are also other Shaktis of the Lord which we have experience of. He even says, I'm the fire of digestion. That's a certain Shakti of the Lord, which especially is very useful when you are a Swami in Mumbai, because you are so often invited to take prasadam that you certainly need that fire of digestion. But for our spiritual development, we are dependent on another Shakti of the Lord. Who of you can imagine what the Shakti of the Lord is which you require for your spiritual development? Bhakti Shakti, says Purnachantara. Bhakti Shakti is a very good Shakti. And also for developing Krishna consciousness. I was thinking a little bit of the Kripa Shakti, which brings to us the Bhakti Shakti. But it's really both is very good. The Kripa Shakti, or mercy energy of the Lord, was with Lord Krishna when he appeared. We know, for instance, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there were many soldiers confronting the Lord, and when they were confronting the Lord and died in his presence, maybe by an arrow or one club or one brahmastra or by an elephant which was a little nervous by all this battling, when they died in front of the Lord, that Kripa Shakti of the Lord took care that they got moksha. Did you know this? And everyone who died at the battle of Kurukshetra got moksha. When someone tells to you, oh, this battle is a violent act, why does a religious scripture have such a battle? You must know, you can answer, it's not a war battle, it's a moksha battle. It's different. Because Krishna was present at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Another example of the Kripa Shakti, which is even going more, is the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Here, for those of you who are for the first or second time in our temple, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most recent incarnation of Lord Krishna, who appeared 500 years ago. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to distribute this Kripa Shakti of the Lord, which would bring people immediately onto the highest states of spiritual realization, love of Godhead, just by singing the holy name with them. I want to give you an example. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, traveled from Bengal to Orissa, and he came in Orissa to a river, and there was a washerman, like you find in India. I believe the Hindi word is dhobi. A dhobi was there washing, and this dhobi was very dark-faced, very mental, in bad consciousness, and the dhobi was washing because he felt so miserable, not enough money, not enough money, not enough money. This is how he spent his day. Now all of a sudden he saw next to him a shadow. And when he saw the shadow, he understood it was the shadow of a sannyasi. So he avoided to look into the eyes of the sannyasi and just said like this, imagine he is the shadow, "Oh Maharaj, move on, I have no money to give you as a donation." He didn't want to look in the eyes of the sannyasi. This is sometimes difficult. If you don't want to give a donation, don't look into the eyes of a sannyasi. Because as soon as the contact is made, this may not be very favorable for your selfishness. So he did not want to look at the face of the sannyasi, and he said, "Maharaj, I have no money, please, I'm very poor, continue your travels in happiness." But then he heard the voice, "I do not want your money. I only want that you chant the holy names of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare." "That's all?" asked the washerman. "You only wish me to chant? I can do that." And he started to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. First of a little bored. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama. He really went into it. "I do not want to make you chant like this, because the visitors who are for the first time here might find out that this is something very special or very intoxicating even. And then let us say enlivening, this mantra chanting." So he was just chanting, and as he was chanting, his consciousness very quickly developed from the budding state of consciousness, a bud, to the blooming state of consciousness, to the fully blossomed state of consciousness. He felt for the first time in his life totally ecstatic, and his heart felt so much inner movement that his eyes sprayed water. Not just that the water was not coming like this, it was coming like from a syringe. Psst. He was feeling so ecstatic, he could not sit any longer. He had to get up, and his feet started to dance like he had never danced before in his entire life. He danced for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then the sun started to set. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had traveled on. He had done what he wanted to do, to give love of Godhead by the free distribution of the holy name. He had smiled when he saw the poor worshipman who was in a poor consciousness to chant so happily, and he had moved on. So when the sun set, the wife of the washerman was thinking, where is my husband? Already he has put an extra 1 hour of work at the river, but now I'm worried. And she went to the river, and she didn't find her husband, only someone who was dancing and chanting and crying in ecstasy. Then she went closer, and she saw, this was my miserable husband. This was my mental husband. My husband who was always in the dark consciousness. And she felt very, very different. I do not know some... She came close and she could not recognize her husband. What would you Madhujis do if you find all of a sudden your husband in your apartment dancing, shouting, I have seen, I am feeling it. But very different. I do not know some... She came close and she could not recognize her husband. What would you Madhujis do if you find all of a sudden your husband in your apartment dancing, shouting, I have seen, I am feeling it. What Radhanath Maharaj talks about, love of Godhead. Darling, we lived in an illusion so far. We went to the discotheque. This was Maya. I want to dance in ecstasy now. Please dance and chant. This is the real life. You would, if you would not be properly prepared, you would think, what has happened to my mental husband? This woman at the bank of the river was totally challenged by the experience, and she went home to the village and called all her villagers and said, come see what is with my husband. I do not dare to come close. He dances and shouts and jumps. He is transformed. So the whole village came, and they looked like villagers look. A very unusual exhibition. Then one man, the strongest man, dared to come close, and he touched that man who was inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this man, this washerman, saw this strong man, and he went like, brother, and embraced him and cried tears of ecstasy. And this strong man of the village also became electrified by love of Godhead. He also danced, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Brothers and sisters, you have uselessly wasted your human form of life. Now wake up and call out the love of Mukunda, Yadava and Hari. And both of them embraced the villagers. And in this way, they all evolved from the whatever stage of consciousness they were on to the fully developed consciousness by Vat Shakti. Kripa Shakti, yes, the mercy energy of the Lord, which was distributed very freely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and previously by Lord Krishna. Now at this stage of this little presentation, you might feel discouraged. Oh Maharaj, I'm trying already so long, but I'm still on a slightly improved level of consciousness. I wish that the Lord would be here. I would wish to be embraced by one of these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then all of a sudden, I would like to be on that level of love of Godhead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left. Krishna has left the planet 5,000 years ago. Now, where is Lord Krishna's Kripa Shakti? So that I can also feel this development in my life, this advancement in my life, this progress in my life. Dear devotees, do not despair. When Lord Krishna and later Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the planet, they invested their Kripa Shakti at certain places, and you need to know these places. If you want to operate a cassette recorder or maybe an electrical fan, you need to know where are the plugs of the electrical energy. Only then the fan or cassette recorder or whatever electrical instrument you have will work. In the same way, if you want that in your human form of life, your consciousness develops to the fully blossomed state of love of Godhead, you need to know where to go to get the Kripa Shakti, the mercy energy of the Lord, which is much more valuable than electrical energy or kinetic energy or even the much celebrated sexual energy. The Kripa Shakti of the Lord is the most important energy which will help us. All these electrical energy or material energy cannot help you to develop your consciousness. This is a fact. So much energy is put into Mumbai's entertainment, huh? So much money into movies, but all this energy cannot help you to develop your spiritual potential of love, of pure spiritual love for Krishna. For this, my dear devotees and my dear guests, you need this particular energy of Lord, the Kripa Shakti, and you need to know where the Lord has put it so that you can get it even in the year 2002, which is more than 500 something years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance. Huh? Yes. Where is the Kripa Shakti of the Lord? How can you contact it? Is this a relevant question or is it a boring question? It has relevance to our lives. Listen very carefully, because this information might change your life. It might give you what you are sincerely and anxiously looking for, that is an experience of the development of your Krishna consciousness. The first place where Lord Krishna has invested his Kripa Shakti is in the hearts of true devotees. Have you noticed when you meet a true devotee of the Lord, how all of a sudden you become enlivened? Have you noticed? When you meet such a devotee of the Lord, sit in the kirtan and hear his pravachan, you become enlivened. I must personally witness you and I'll tell you that I am here to become enlivened by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And I feel very enlivened that the therapeutic treatment works. I feel some Kripa Shakti in my life. From our discussion especially, from what to do in life. Yes. Yes. Let us not embarrass Maharaj, because he is a very humble Vaishnava. He will never agree to this. But let us go back to the principle which you have all felt. The Kripa Shakti is invested in the heart of a true devotee. Therefore, Shastra says, even if you have the 11th part of a second of association with a sadhu, this is the city, the perfection of life can be gotten. Though many of you are very intelligent, what transaction can take part in the 11th part of a second? The 11th part of a second is a time which takes to make this noise. Click. In this time, the sadhu cannot tell us he cannot tell us even Hari Bol. When it says the 11th part of the second, even that minimum amount of association with the sadhu, Sava City Hoy, is the birthplace of all cities, it refers to an almost electrical effect. Some electrifying thing. This is how the Kripa Shakti can work. The second place and where the Kripa Shakti is invested after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Krishna's appearance is in the holy name, which is chanted without offenses, aparad. Yes. If you learn to contact the holy name, you can also feel this Kripa Shakti of the Lord. Great examples can be found in the Western world. People have heard the song, the Hare Krishna mantra, and the Kripa Shakti entered the heart. I was such a person, I can tell you very honestly, I was interested in music, and one fine day I looked at the TV where my favorite musical band, the Rolling Stones, were having a funeral ceremony for my favorite guitar player, Brian Jones, who had just died from an overdose of heroin in his swimming pool. So I was crying at the funeral ceremony from the TV. Oh, he was such a good guitar player and such a great singer. And I was very despondent, and what is life? Maybe I should take my life tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. The next event on the TV was the devotees chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. You know this record, simple Hare Krishna dhun, which we all play in our temple. And I felt, so happy all of a sudden, and I said, I will not commit suicide today or tomorrow or next tomorrow. I will chant Hare Krishna. I remember this very distinctly. I'm telling you in simple words, but it is like this. It changed my life. Kripa Shakti was there. Then the next source where the Kripa Shakti is hiding is in the Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam says, after Krishna's disappearance from this planet, has appeared in the pages of the Bhagavatam. He has gone from, in one way, but he has appeared like the sun, Purana no Kodunodita, in the pages of the Bhagavatam. It is said, if you read the Bhagavat Purana, you can experience how Lord Krishna will appear on the lotus of your heart. Please try it. Do not just nod your head. Try to every day have a session of 1 hour Bhagavatam reading, or even of 15 minutes or 3 verses according to your time and taste, and so on. The next place where the Kripa Shakti is hiding is in the Murti of Lord Krishna, the deity which we worship at the altar. There are many amazing accounts in our Radha Gopinath community and all over the world where devotees had a serious question, a serious concern, maybe even a serious request in their lives. And they have gone before the deity and they have said, "My Lord, you know already what is in my heart. Please do what is best for me." When you go before the deity, you don't even need to request him for material things. You'd best say, "Do what is best for me. Give me your real Kripa, your love, love of Godhead." Because by love for Krishna, you can get Krishna. Do you know that a devotee sometimes says, "I don't want you, Krishna. I want love for you. Because only if I have love for you, I can get you." Bhakti is the most, the greatest treasure which we can obtain. Prema Bhakti. Because by Prema Bhakti, we can get the Lord. Without Prema Bhakti, you can stand right in front of the Lord and react like Duryodhana. Yes. So, another place where the Kripa Shakti of the Lord is hiding is in the holy dhams, where Prabhupada was once asked, "Prabhupada, what is the benefit of visiting Vrindavan?" And he answered, "It gives you the impetus." Impetus means the internal pushing, the internal to go back home, back to Godhead. You can feel this. Let me summarize. My dear devotees and my dear skeptical visitors, and all those who are neutral, please know that for your development in consciousness, you require a certain Shakti. You cannot do it alone. In Germany, we have the story of one baron. Baron, do you know what is a baron? An aristocrat, like a prince, Raj. He once went into the mud. He was walking and went to the, it's called in English, swamp. And he was sinking in the mud. Now, there was no one to help him. And what did our clever prince do? He took his hair and he pulled himself out of the mud. This, however, does not work in reality, only in a fairy tale. In the same way, not by your own endeavors you can pull yourself back to Godhead. It doesn't go. Even if you have a very strong seeker, it does not go. It's just a physical impossibility. You need an energy which is outside from your own energy. You need the Kripa Shakti of the Lord. This is very, very important. So this Kripa Shakti can help you to develop your consciousness so that you come to the platform of love of Godhead. And from this love of Godhead, from this platform, Lord Krishna will appear in your life and never leave you. So This Kripa Shakti was with Lord Krishna when he appeared, and it was very freely distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he appeared, but it is still waiting for all of us at certain places. These places are Sadhu Sangha, the name of Lord Krishna, the reading of the Bhagavad Purana. By the way, it is now a very good time to buy volumes of Bhagavatams. We have the Christmas, the marathon. Please, all of you, purchase Srimad Bhagavatam volumes in big numbers. There the Lord is hiding, and in the deity form, and also in his holy dham. There the Kripa Shakti is hiding. I wish all of you a very, very good contact with the Kripa Shakti, and I will end my story with something I heard just recently from a god brother of mine. This god brother comes from an extremely affluent, wealthy family in New York, and but he did not like to be in this rich environment and went to Vrindavan. When his mother heard that his her son was now dressing in simple clothes, eating simple food, and living in a simple village, she felt great pain in her heart and went to Vrindavan to get him back. She even had brought some strong men with her, in need of her verbal persuasions failed, and she thought then a physical persuasion may be appropriate to bring him back to New York. So this mother, who was really there with the intent to kidnap my godbrother, one morning came with tears in her eyes to my godbrother and said, "I cannot understand what change has happened in my consciousness. I was please forgive me, my dear son. You do the best thing you could ever do. This is so wonderful here. I was waking up in the morning, and do you know what happened to me? I, who was an enemy of Krishna, was singing Hare Krishna. I must have sung already half an hour or an hour in my sleep the Hare Krishna mantra." This is an example of energy which works on someone. It melted the heart of the New York mother. So this Kripa Shakti is very powerful. Please arrange your life in an intelligent way. Arrange it that you can get as much Kripa Shakti daily. You should get it. Like your milkshake, your energetic milkshake, or your whatever water supply. We must get every day a healthy supply of the Kripa Shakti from these wonderful sources. Then your life will very soon progress, and you will feel that you get what you sincerely want in your heart. A state of real blossom consciousness, a state of real love, a state of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Prasanatma means happiness. You will feel how you will develop an equal vision, which is very helpful in Mumbai, where there are so many disturbing factors. But with Samadrisha and equal vision, you can go through life without being upset any longer, and so on. Please take this offer of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the offer of our wonderful Radha Gopinath community. Come here and find the sources of Kripa Shakti in your life, and install them then in your house, so that you will be surrounded by the wonderful mercy of the Lord. Thank you very, very much for listening. But please apply everything and more about the Kripa Shakti. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the active principle in spiritual life is the mercy of God. That, just like in a car, the active principle which moves the car is not the driver's energy, you know, he doesn't push it. It's the burning of fuel which is then transformed into kinetic energy. Kinetic means energy which moves forward. To move forward, the active principle in spiritual life is the mercy of Krishna, which is in these sources. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Shri Gopal ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Om Agyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dada Dishwapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha
First of all, let us welcome this wonderful Vaishnavas who have sacrificed their lives for our sake. Purnachandra Prabhu has been a faithful, steady, dedicated disciple of Srila Prabhupada for many years. Book distributor, preacher, very deeply learned in the science and philosophy of Krishna consciousness. At this time, he's traveling in Russian countries, that area of the world, and thousands of people are being inspired by his incredible enthusiasm to present the words of Lord Krishna. In a very heart-touching, scientific, systematic manner, he convinces people's intelligence and hearts in the science of bhakti. He also sings very sweet bhajans and kirtans, and a very renounced and exemplary Vaishnava. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. And Sachi Nandan Maharaj, what can I say? He is a spontaneous personification of blissful, merciful devotional service. Do you all agree? He's been sacrificing his life with great joy for over 30 years in the service of Prabhupada, Lord Krishna, and all human beings. Let us welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath. Purnachandra Prabhu so beautifully explained in a chronological, scientific manner what is the essence of the Gita and how to properly understand it. Sachinandan Maharaj has explained so many beautiful stories of how the heart blossoms through the process of watering it, the seed of devotion, blossoms into pure love of God, and the importance of the association of devotees for that to take place. He explained how even 1/11th of a second in the association of a true sadhu can transform one's life. Mahatsevam dwara mahurava muktes tamodwaram yoshita sangi sangam. The Bhagavat Purana declares that by associating and serving great souls, the doors to liberation open. But by associating with people who are too much obsessed with their own selfish interests, the doors to ignorance open wide. The most important factor in our spiritual development and those around us is the examples that we are inspired by. What leaders of society do, the common men and women and children will naturally follow. It is human nature. In Germany, Sachinandan Maharaj explained me once when we were driving, his driver was driving 225 kilometers per hour. And I was not accustomed to such fast driving because I'm from Bombay. Where can you drive 250 kilometers an hour? So I was looking at the scenery going very fast. And he was just, we were sitting next to each other in back seat, and Maharaj was just very calmly describing me German history. And how Hitler, his example was so powerful that it actually convinced tens and millions of people to accept the most cruel things as being good, virtuous, and for the welfare of the world. Yes? The power of association and examples. Both in material history as well as Puranic and spiritual history, we find that people who are actually considered great in life, people who really transformed others' hearts in a positive way, are those who were willing to make great sacrifices to selflessly help others. With your permission, I will give you two examples. In material historical context, and then try to bridge that into the opening of the doors of the greatest spiritual need, the example of selfless devotional service. Do I have your permission? During World War II, there was a lieutenant commander of the United States Navy. His name was Butch O'Hara. Have you ever heard of him? I didn't think so. He was a pilot for a fighter plane. His planes were on these big aircraft carrier boats. His particular carrier was called the Lexington. And they were fighting the Japanese army in the South Pacific. Are you interested? Okay, I will continue. Every airplane on that ship was sent on a mission. They all took off together. And that's a big job, getting all 50, 60, 70 planes to take off together. And they were flying to a destination far away. Butch O'Hara happened to look at his fuel gauge and took note of the fact that the person who was supposed to put fuel in his airplane's tank forgot to do it. He did not have enough fuel to go and attack the enemy and come back. So he called on his radio the commanding pilot of the squadron, and he said, "You have to go back to the ship. We'll continue without you." So as he was flying back, he saw that the ship, because they just worked so hard to bring these planes to the point where they could take off, everyone in the ship was resting. And then he saw, coming right at the ship, was a whole squadron of dozens and dozens of Japanese airplanes coming to attack all those ships to destroy them. The ships were helpless and defenseless. So what should he do? He couldn't bring back the other planes because they were too far away. There was nothing he could do to warn the ship because they were relaxing. So he personally took his own airplane, one against about 50. He took his own airplane and just flew right into them. They thought, this person is totally crazy. He had 50 airplanes shooting at him, and he was shooting at them, and he was just weaving in and out between the airplanes. Somehow or other, he ran out of ammunition. He came back to the airplane. He came back to the ship, and his own airplane was battered and tattered and could hardly move anymore. And he was injured in so many ways. He was the first person in the United States Navy to win the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest award given by the United States government. 1 year later, while risking his life in combat in the war, he was killed at the age of 29. He was born and raised in Chicago, one of the cities of America. The people of Chicago considered that this person was so great. When he died, the whole city had all the stores closed, and they mourned for him. And then they dedicated their airport to him. Today, the largest and busiest airport in all of America is O'Hara Airport, named after Butch O'Hare. And between Terminal 1 and Terminal 2, you will find a memorial for him with a statue and his Congressional Medal of Honor. Millions of people a year, even today, go to take inspiration from his selfless sacrifice for the welfare of others. Sometime earlier than this, another story I'd like to share. Different type of story, but there is a message of how selfless service for the welfare of others transforms people's hearts. They didn't make that airport after some wealthy man who made billions of dollars. They dedicated that airport to a simple young man who sacrificed his life to try to help others. Story 2. Chicago is famous in the 1920s and 1930s for the most organized and terrible mafia in all of America. The leader of the mafia, do you know his name? Does anyone know his name? Say it if you know it. Al Capone. You will not become purified chanting that name. He was a murderer. He was a wicked-hearted person. Of course, in Kali Yuga, people take the most wicked, the most murderous, the most cruel, and they make all these little stories around them to make them into heroes. In fact, my father tells me, when he was only 8 years old, he was sitting on the steps of a courthouse near Chicago. And Al Capone came out and rubbed him on the head. So he considered this a great blessing. And due to that blessing, probably I became his child. Anyways, it's a serious story I'm about to tell you. Al Capone was making millions upon millions of dollars. How? Through prostitution, through illegal alcohol and intoxication and drugs, through insurance. What was the insurance? They would go to every store in Chicago and say, "We are insurance agents. Give us so many dollars a month and we won't blow up your store." And the mayor and the police force were all on his payroll. He was untouchable. So many murders he was responsible for. But the law could never touch him. Should I tell you why? Because he had a brilliant genius as a lawyer. His lawyer's name was Easy Eddie. This man was sharp. He could manipulate the law in so many ways that whatever charges were against Al Capone and his leaders, he would get him right off. Al Capone never had to see a day in jail as long as Easy Eddie was his lawyer. So Al Capone was very grateful to him in the sense that he needed him. He gave him millions of dollars. An entire city block in the best neighborhood of Chicago was the house and estate of Easy Eddie. He had boundary walls. He had guards. He could go on any vacation he wanted anywhere. The best cars, the best clothes. He had anything money could buy, all given by Al Capone. And he didn't mind that he was defending murder, prostitution, and the destruction of so many lives. Why? Because it was giving him money. Business is business. Have you heard this? Business is business. Moral, unethical, doesn't matter. He had one son. How he gave everything to that son. That son had the best of cars, the best of clothes, the best of education, the best of everything. But as he was growing older, his father was thinking, out of affection, I've given my son everything this world can give, but there's two things I cannot give him. I cannot give him a father that has a good name, because the whole world hates me. I'm defending a murderer, a criminal, a person who makes people weep and cry. I cannot give him a father that is a good example for him to follow. This was crippling his heart. And ultimately he had to come to a decision. What's the best thing I could give my child? All this money, all this wealth, all this affluence, accepted us into the best universities? Or the pride that his father has a good name that people respect and that his father is an example for me to follow? Easy Eddie made a serious decision. Shall I continue the story? He decided the only way he could give his son these two things is for him to testify against Al Capone in the courts, which would mean he would die. He did it. He testified against Al Capone, and Al Capone was sent to Alcatraz, the worst prison in America. Shortly after he testified, he was filled with bullets in a side street in the city of Chicago and laid there in a bloody death. To give his son what he felt was the greatest wealth that he could give, he was willing to give his life. My dear friends, you may be wondering, what do these stories have to do with each other? Butch O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddie. By his death, he imbibed the spirit of selfless sacrifice for others and made him one of the greatest heroes of America. Even in the material sense, what really impresses people's hearts and transforms their consciousness is not success. It is an example of life, of selfless service for others. The most famous person in the history of the Western world, is Lord Jesus Christ. And what is he famous for? What do people love him for? What do people give up their sins and surrender to him for? Because he sacrificed his life for the welfare of others. Yesterday, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj sang a beautiful song for us. Can you sing again? Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam, everybody. Kavibhiriditam
kalmashapaham shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigrayati Ye Dapuridachana Laur Tapakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibiriditam Kalmasapaham Sravana Mangala Srimadatatam Vidigrenanti Ve Tapuridachana.
Those who repeat the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the most supremely purifying power in all of existence, the names and glories of the Lord, they are performing the ultimate selfless service for all society. Buridajana, they are the most munificent, the most compassionate, because they are awakening people's souls to their eternal life of bliss and knowledge. And we find throughout our Vaishnav history this principle of paradukaduki, selfless service to Krishna. Through the process of selfless service to those who are suffering in this world, we often speak about Gadadhar Das. He was a devotee of Nityananda Prabhu. In this beautiful painting that has been offered by our dear Brahmachari Haridas Thakur Prabhu, we see the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He was preaching to the two greatest dacoits, Jagai and Madhai. They threatened to kill him. They chased him for that purpose. They even beat him on the head with a clay pot to kill him. And they wanted to do it again and again. And when Lord Chaitanya came to punish those wicked sinners, Nityananda Prabhu prayed to Lord Chaitanya, "If I have ever performed any devotional service that has pleased you, if I have ever engaged in any pious activities, please let all those credits go to forgiving them and giving them devotion." He embraced them and gave them love of God. There was a Qazi who hated Hindus. He would murder them, kill them, plunder their wealth if he found them publicly practicing their own spiritual path. People feared him. They would run away just at the sound that he was coming. But Gadadhar Das was such a selfless servant. In the middle of the night, he ran right into Qazi's house and shouted at the top of his lungs, "Qazi, I have come to order you
to chant the holy names of Lord Hari. If you don't, I will cut off your head. The guards were so stunned. They didn't know what to do. And Kazi was woken from his sleep. He was on fire with anger. He came running out to kill this offender. But when he saw Gadadhar Das, whose heart was only filled with love and compassion and a willingness to end his life to serve him, his heart melted. He said, Gadadhar, what are you doing here in the middle of the night? He said, I have come to declare the good news to you. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have descended. The Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, the Father of all living beings have descended into this world as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and they are giving love of God freely to everyone and anyone with no cost. All one has to do is simply chant the holy names, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And now the whole world is chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Except you, you foolish rascal Kazi. Now on their behalf, I command you, chant, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Ah. Kazi looked at him, said, Gadadhar Das, it's the middle of the night. Please, let me sleep. Just go home, and tomorrow I'll chant Hari Hari. Ah, when Gadadhar heard this, he leaped in the air with tears flowing from his eyes. No, not tomorrow. Today, the holy names Hari Hari have emanated from your mouth. Today you are delivered. Today Lord Chaitanya's mercy has come upon you. Hari Hari! And then Gadadhar Das was dancing and jumping and leaping and twirling around all over the house of the Kazi in ecstasy as everyone watched in wonder. Selfless service. How it transformed the hearts of people who were murderous haters into pious devotees. Our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, he was an example, and his example transformed and is still transforming millions upon millions of people's lives. He didn't mind strokes. He didn't mind heart attacks. He didn't mind old age. Diabetes and all of the different health problems he had. He was traveling around the world 14 times from the age of 70 to 81. Just giving Krishna. When he started his mission in that little storefront at 22nd Avenue, he had no supporters, he had no fame, he had nothing except an example that enthused and transformed others. It wasn't only what he said, but it was the way he spoke it. Earlier today, Purnachandra Prabhu was discussing this, that when you speak the word of God, the power to affect people's hearts is very much critically dependent on your love for God and your love for your audience. These young Americans coming from upper and upper middle class families, they had everything materialistic world can offer in that sense. But they were lonely, they were frustrated, they were confused, because they were asking serious questions about life that even the greatest universities could not even begin to answer to their satisfaction. And it has been told to us many times, it was a generation of people whose motto was never trust or hear from anyone over 30. Because they simply do not understand. And here was a man who was 70 years old, quoting this Sanskrit language that they had no way to fathom, and speaking subtle philosophical truths that were very, very difficult for them to understand. They could have easily just come once and left for good. But his example, he lived for them. These people never saw anyone who gave their lives for their welfare more than Srila Prabhupada. He is living for us. He's accepting poverty and so much tension for us. He spoke with love. He was an example of love, of selfless service. And those same people who were coming into that little storefront surrendered their entire lives, giving up eating meat, giving up illicit sex, giving up intoxications, giving up gambling, giving up atheism, giving up so many material forms of entertainment, to dedicate 24 hours a day to the service of Krishna, a God that they never even heard the name before a few weeks prior to this. How is it possible? This bhakti shakti that His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj is explaining transformed their hearts. And what is bhakti shakti? In the spiritual world, bhakti shakti is eternally manifest everywhere in the form of everyone's unconditional, unmotivated desire to please Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And Krishna's unlimited desire to give ecstasy and love to His devotees. But when that bhakti shakti enters into the material world, it comes in the form of mercy. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate. Krishna, He is a vast ocean of mercy, of kindness. Dinabandhu Jagatpate, He is the Supreme Lord who has descended to be the friend of the most fallen. And the mission of the Lord becomes the mission of His devotees. Therefore, Krishna Himself declares in Srimad Bhagavad Gita that there is no one more dear to me than He who explains this science of Bhagavad Gita to others, and there will never be one more dear to me than that person. And what does it mean to explain Bhagavad Gita to others? It means through our words, and even more important, through our lives, through our example. The essence of bhakti, the fundamental principle of love, is service for the welfare, for the pleasure of the object of our service. To the degree our service is without ego, is without selfish motivation, but it is for the pleasure and welfare of others, to that degree our service is a generation of love. And it is only that love that can satisfy the essential needs of the heart. Therefore, the example of selfless service to God and being an instrument of God's mercy in this world has the greatest power to transform and influence people's lives. And factually, we are not simply speaking about great sannyasis, acharyas, and saints. We are speaking about the primary duty for every human being. Lord Chaitanya ordered, Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusya Janmajar. All of you persons born in India, you are inheriting the deepest, most scientific, philosophical culture of devotion. It is your duty to live in a spirit of mercy toward others by sharing this precious gift. You have children. The greatest act of love for your children is to take the spirit of Easy Eddie to a platform millions of times more higher and inclusive. To be willing to make sacrifices to give them a real spirit of dedication and love of God. Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? So many little fashions, so many little addictions and habits we have in our life that are considered utterly normal within this age of Kali, but are infiltrating our children's heart imperceptibly beyond our comprehension with a contaminated state of consciousness. Forgive me if I inadvertently make anyone feel guilty. But my heart is pushing me to speak. What is actually compassion? What is actually love? To give an example, to be an example. Within our Hare Krishna movement, I know parents of children who, for some petty little pleasures of life, very much deviated from the principles of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes they divorced because their marriage was not convenient to their enjoying life according to their expectations. In the Western society, 90% of all juvenile delinquency is from children coming from divorced parents
or separated parents.
Parents who gave up the principles of sadhana, engaged in various activities of the worldly type, and many of their children became terribly confused and very, very, very difficult for those children to really have faith in the path of bhakti. And I know other parents who just remained exemplary, remained together somehow or other. And even though the children, due to American society, went astray, because their parents gave them such an example, such a foundation, they come back, they take initiation, and they live so seriously in a spirit of surrender. Upright citizens of society and noble examples in their own life. It is practical. It may give us a little fun watching all kinds of television programs, going to various socialist events where various sinful activities are taking place. I am not condemning. I am simply warning. When those vibrations are being filled in your heart and they're creating an environment around their children, what are you doing to them? Our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada explains when he was a small child, his mother and father were always calling sadhus into the home to serve them. He would always see every morning, first thing, his father offering aarti to the deities of Radha Govinda and his mother cooking offerings. Every day, his father was feeding sadhus, having his son and children helping him, and then right in front of them begging the saintly persons with folded hands, please bless my children that Radharani will become merciful upon them. Srila Prabhupada dedicated Krishna book, yes? It was Krishna book. To his father, Gaur Mohan Day. 65 years later, the impression his father and mother gave him was so deep in his heart. He said, my father gave me this. And later on, when I met my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was enhanced unlimitedly. He was grateful for the example he received. And what was the result? The example that he gave in his life. Selfless sacrifice for the welfare of others. For the welfare of the whole world, by giving the crest jewel of all goals of life, love of Krishna, through sincerely and humbly chanting the holy names. His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, His Grace Purnachandra Prabhu, Her Grace Nartaki Devi Mataji, and many, many thousands of people, even 25 years after Srila Prabhupada has left this world, their lives are continuously dedicated exclusively to the welfare of others, because of the transformation that took place from Srila Prabhupada's life. So parents, please understand what is really love for your child. Don't be easy eddies and think that just by giving them good education and nice clothes and nice cars and good bank balance that you're showing real love. Real love is the example that they will remember for the rest of their life, that will mold their life. One of my dear God sisters, Kunti Devi, humble, sincere, always in the background, while big sannyasis were out preaching the glories of the Lord and others were distributing millions of books, she was washing people's clothes with ice cold water. She was cutting wood and cooking some offerings. And later on she became a book distributor, but never made any of the charts of great stars. She was just a steady, humble, sincere, dedicated soul. And her children went through a lot. She left her body of cancer. But as she was dying, even the leaders of our society were coming to her bedside to ask for her blessings and take spiritual inspiration from her. She couldn't even hold a book. She was paralyzed, lower part of her body. But someone gave her a computer and she was simply reading Prabhupada's books. And whoever came in, she would just share with them blissfully whatever she had read and ask them, tell me about Krishna. She personally told me, people feel sorry for me because I'm paralyzed and I am going to die any day, but I've never been happier in my life. I'm not on my deathbed. Like Maharaj Parikshit, I'm on the bank of the Ganges hearing from my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada day and night, and I've never heard his words so intimately and personally. The day before she left her body, nobody knew if she was conscious or not. But her daughter, Karnamrita, whispered in her mother's ear, but we could hear it, Mother, thank you for giving me Krishna consciousness. And tears rolled from her eyes, from Kunti Devi's eyes, as she was laying on her deathbed. And her daughter, by seeing those tears, knew that is what she lived to give me. And that is very much what is sustaining and enlivening her Krishna consciousness and will continue throughout her life. So these cheap thrills of material fascinations that come and go, do not allow them to distract you from your greatest duty, to be an example, to give a spiritual foundation in your children's lives. And if you are children, your brothers, your sisters, your example, your influence of how you are attached and absorbed in Krishna, in service to Krishna, in mercy and compassion and service to others. That will affect them. And those who are brahmacharis, please know, everyone, if you live an exemplary way, whoever you are, you will transform people's hearts. You will enlighten them. There is no greater need in human society than that. We already have great, great universities and colleges, and they are serving their purpose well, in one sense. We have bachelor degrees and master's degrees and PhD degrees, where people are doctors and engineers and architects and businessmen and politicians, teachers and professors. The scientific and technological progress of the world is simply unbelievable. But are people happier now with their cellular phones and their portable computers and their very, very nice computerized cars and air conditioning systems? Are they happier? So much frustration, so much drug addiction, so much suicide, so much crime. And the World Health Organization, they officially proclaim that the greatest disease, the greatest source of suffering in the 21st century, not AIDS or cancer, heart disease, but mental illness due to frustration, anxiety, and loneliness. There are only spiritual solutions to these problems. And if you are not a part of the solution, you are part of the problem. So let us, it should be half curtain, not full curtain. Let us take as the most serious thing in life, what example are we giving to others? Hadarnam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Let us clean our hearts from this lust and envy and anger, greed and pride. Illusion. Let us be the best we could be. Life is short and uncertain. With the few years we have on this earth, let us do something wonderful. That comes through selfless service to God and to others. Let our lives give light in this world of darkness. And when many lights come together, it could light up the universe. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the congregational chanting of the holy names, where we come together to enlighten and enliven one another so that we could be the best we could be in our lives. We come together to hear from the great souls to actually establish and improve the values of life. We come together to purify our hearts and share that purified love of Krishna's mercy with the world through loudly chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.